Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Hello, hello. It is Wednesday. You know what that means. It means that Ryan is here with Joe for an all-new Mark Order podcast. You also know it probably means Kate's not here because she's just dogging us. Now, she's claiming it's because she's at the show, but I refuse to believe that. We'll see. You know, I haven't seen any proof yet, so until I see her literally standing in the ring, I won't believe it. But I am joined, as always, by my co-hostess with the mostest, Joe. How you doing, Joe?
I am doing well, and as you can see, I am not in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, so I have every bit of credibility of being at the show as Kate does.
Yeah, Kate, I don't believe she was there, but I will tell you that Kylie and Big G are here talking to us in our chat, so hi, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I will say, I did not see, you can claim, yeah, it was me that was late. I did not see Dynamite. I had family issues that I had to take care of all day and tonight. So we are going to do something different this episode. And I'm going to put it up now and I'll reiterate when we actually start it. Joe is going to name the segment, either the promo or the match. And then I'm going to try to guess what I think happened. And then Joe will tell me how close I was. I am actually going to do my best to try and not just, you know, because it's no fun if I'm just like, and then the Undertaker arrived and he gave everyone a tombstone and then Stone Cold came. And it's like, yeah, you're in the wrong company. So that will be what we do. Something new, something different. I didn't plan on missing the episode, but life gets in the way. But before that, anything happened to you this week, Joe?
Trying to think. I got my permanent crown put on my tooth. So that was good.
Good. You know, Scott probably wants to give you a crown. Scott in the chat, blame me. He's probably Joe's king.
Heck yeah, I'll take it. Thanks. Someone has to be.
King Joe.
Yeah, it was good Dynamite, so I was happy about that. And so I'll be interested to see what you predict. I think it'll be a fun little show, a little bit different, because we know that we are one of many places you can get an AEW Dynamite review, so why not change it up every now and then?
Yeah, and For those who might, Kate, accuse me of trying to steal their idea of Sansa Blind that they do over on Sour Graps. No, Joe's not the one lying. There's no lying to take place.
No lies.
It is me guessing what happens as it happens, as it happens. So we'll see what goes on. But before we get,
what can we name it? We can name it something like Ryan's something. Ryan's. We might have to workshop this for future.
I'm thinking, Chad, if you have a good one, you know, come up with something. We'll steal it and not credit you.
I will.
Ryan's wrestling. See, review isn't it, because it's when I'm not reviewing, I'm guessing.
Trying to think of a sentiment.
Guessling?
Guessling?
I was trying to stick with, you know, the alliteration of Ryan RRR, but that didn't work.
Keep thinking about it. We'll get through it. We'll find the name.
Yeah, we'll figure something out, or the chat will come up with something. But before we get there, the question of the week is, did you see the possible terms that have been released for the AEW Warner deal? There has been some leaks. Nothing 100% confirmed, though those in the know seem to indicate that those numbers at least are expected to be realistic. I think they were saying 170 for a show on TBS, TNT, and True TV. Right? Am I reading that right?
There's what, two shows across three networks, 3 years with a 4 year optional or 4 year option.
Okay. But we don't know. So the thing there is that would take out. That would take out a show, actually.
Yeah, many people are wondering what happens with Rampage now, if that goes away, or if Dynamite becomes 3 hours.
So AEW is, so they're talking for $170 million, which,
what are
based on Brandon,
Brandon
Thurston thinks they're getting about $70 million right now, 70, 75. So that would be more than double their money. That would, by all indications, make them profitable. And this, with Rampage possibly going away, it leads to the possibility of that Shockwave show or whatever they're talking about for Fox, because now you're not overloading. Like when Kate and I were talking about the one day, I think we were talking about it on the drive back from DC, we couldn't figure out how you fit Shockwave in with Rampage, Collision, and Dynamite, because it's like, listen, I love wrestling, but that's a lot. If you eliminate Rampage and put Shockwave in its place, you're suddenly, you're not creating more. It's status quo and just on two networks, which means you could actually, in theory, be getting 170 for your TV rights for Warner. We don't know. Sean mentioned something of a weekly clip show on TV schedule, or Sean being Sean Ross Sapp. So that's, he's usually in the know. You're talking, if they get 170 from Warner, there's talks that doesn't include pay-per-view stuff, which everyone thinks they want to move pay-per-views to Max. And then if you get money from a show on Fox, you could be getting close to a $200 million a year deal, which would be a insane increase for... Now, 3 years is shorter than most people expected. I think people thought there'd be another 5-year deal, but three to four is realistic. You know, you want to, the TV landscape's changing so much that you got to figure out what's it going to look like in 3 to 4 years. So I'm not one of these weirdo. Well, first of all, I don't care that AEW is getting paid because I like AEW. So I'm not one of those weirdos, but also I don't care when, I'm a fan of WWE too, so I don't care when they get paid. But even if I wasn't, I don't care what these companies get paid. I'm not making that money. All I care is that they get paid enough to remain on my TV. Right. Do you have any thoughts on the whole situation?
No, not really. I mean, you kind of liken it to professional sports or college sports, or you know how they always have TV rights deal for the NBA or for MLB or for, you know, the SEC network and SEC teams, or the Big Ten football with Peacock and Fox. I guess I don't put too much into the deal because, again, it's money that doesn't affect us. The products are going to be the same. They'll just have a little bit more resources to put behind it.
Yeah. Big G has a point that I want to bring up. As long as I can watch the pay-per-views on Max, I'll be happy. So that is obviously heavily discussed, but by no means has that been actually even announced in the rumors as part of the deal officially yet. But that's what everybody wants. If you're good, listen, I will pay $50 to $60, whatever, once a quarter for a pay-per-view, for like a banger pay-per-view once a quarter. I could live with that. But they've gone past that now. They're now doing quite regularly, and I don't want to pay that for every month and a half. Like, that's, I'm sorry, it's just,
you figure, yeah, if you had 10 pay-per-views a year at $50 a pop, I mean, you know,
yeah. So I think Max would be the best. I think that'd be better for Max. I think Max wants that. I think AEW wants that. So I could see that. I'd be really interesting if they go to Fox, because they were so Warner exclusive for so long that if they go to Fox, unless Warner cuts a deal where it's like, you can have everything, we want everything but Shockwave, it means pretty soon that they're not Warner exclusive. Does my baby come back? Baby, come back to me. Dark baby, dark.
Baby. Wouldn't be the worst thing.
I like Dark. I know people, obviously, clearly I like Dark. People will like drag me. I think Dark and Elevation were too much. You can get away with just one.
We have Collision, Dynamite, Shockwave, Rampage, whatever that's going to be. Yeah, you don't need two Darks.
Dark was a fun way for me to find out about indie talent or guys who are underutilized in AEW. That was just what it was.
Now, the in- Look at the people who got signed from being on Dark so much. And like they got their matches on there, and AEW thought highly of them to be like, you know what, let's keep them on full time.
You got the Acclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
You got Powerhouse Hobbs.
Yep.
You got Red Velvet. You got a bunch who even if they didn't, if they weren't signed solely, they were signed, they wouldn't be pushed if they hadn't developed such a following on Dark. Now, the only counter to that is we still got to figure out what's happening with ROH. I've kind of given up on expecting ROH on TV. Unless True TV or someone is willing to give it an hour threat like spot. But I don't foresee that. But if as part of this 170 million plus they get from Warner, ROH moves to Max, I'd be fine with that. Because Honor Club's not that great. Two, it condenses things. And three, I think it would it changes the math of ROH. Now ROH is part of a bigger deal. You can incorporate it as part of, like, if Warner goes to AEW, you can put ROH on Max, but if it's there or not, we're paying the same amount, whatever. But if Warner goes as part of this deal, we want ROH on Max, you have to actually invest in it then to make it a, because it's part of your hunt. So, and I clearly want ROH to be put on, like, put some effort into it. But we don't know that. Fox would be interesting. They want to stay in the wrestling business. They lost WWE. I think people underestimate the people who are shocked at, Big G with the point before I go on to my thing. Big G with the point on ROH, more people might watch it on Max. I guarantee more people will watch it on Max. If you buy Max, right? If you're wrestling fan A and you like AEW a lot, but you're like, I don't feel like paying $9.99 or whatever for ROH. Like, I don't like it that much that I want to pay another $10. But you're like, but I am paying for Max because that gets me the pay-per-views. So I have it anyway. You're more likely to be like, let me throw it on and see how it is versus I have to pay money for it.
Right.
Like, so I'm a big believer in, I'm hoping that's the route they go.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they could throw ROH library, AEW's pay-per-views, AEW's library, all on.
Yeah, all that onto, because platform. Even though they might put a show on Fox, WWE Network is all on Peacock, so the library and all that, like, that stuff is somewhat negotiated separately, so you can have these shows now, another show going on, but your entire library moved to a Max or something and still be part of the infrastructure. What was I gonna say? I had a point I wanted to make and I'm so foolish I forgot my point already. Oh, people, so those weird haters, not even haters, I won't even say that, because there were some people who were legitimately like, hey, I'm not hating, but how does AEW demand this much money? Like, this is their ratings, this is their whatever. I think people, I'm not in television, so I can't tell you how television works necessarily. I can tell you how certain business things work, and if you're telling me I have a product that is on all year round or available all year round, it will pull in a consistent base. They're a marketable base. That is valuable to me, to be like, I have this. Versus if you don't, you have to put in its place something that's only going to be on the air for 24 weeks max, if not less. You don't know what kind of loyalty it's going to have. You don't know, like, you know, it's it's cheaper to produce than most of those shows. So, like, you know, I think it's cheaper to spend 170 on wrestling for 52 weeks a year than trying to go make shows that fill 52 weeks a year of TV. And you get similar ratings. If slightly worse, fine, but it's live, which always demands higher. Hello, Lieutenant Colonel. But I'm not. Oh no, Kate's not here. So hello, Jesse. So yeah, that's it's an interesting thing. I don't know if you have any thoughts, feelings on that. That to me, I even look at it from work, from a non TV thing, where if you told me I've had to do sales in my life, we'll go that route. If you're selling product A, but product A is all year round, it may not hit as big as product B, but it's all year round. And you know what you're going to get with product A. It's going to be this around this level. Sometimes it could go higher, but it's going to probably be around this level. Do this. And it only costs this much. And pretty consistent. Or you can go to product B. It may hit higher, but you're then having to do product C, D, and E to cover for the times the product B is not around. And you're not sure that it's actually going to hit. And it costs this much more to go. I go with product A every time.
Right. Same.
So I don't know if you have any additional thoughts.
No, I got lost in your algebra.
I have great algebra, don't I?
But either way, hopefully, who knows, maybe they'll announce it at Grand Slam.
Oh, Grand Slam? When is Grand Slam? Next week?
Yeah, so they keep saying like maybe it could come out next week. So maybe that's around the time to do it.
So Kate won't be here again next week. She will be at Grand Slam, getting to see her buddy Nigel wrestle Danielson.
Maybe.
I didn't watch it. I didn't watch the show tonight. But when that part of it comes up, if it comes up, my guess is going to be, you don't have to confirm now, my guess is going to be that they're still harping that maybe not, but we know he is. So he's going to come out like the mummy, just all wrapped up. I will wrestle you, Nigel.
Is he going to hump him then?
No, that was the Yeti.
Oh, the Yeti. The Yeti and the mummy looked a lot alike.
Well, they were dressed alike, yes, but I don't want the humping, so I'm going the Yeti. So Big G and two Lieutenant Colonel Photo both have a good point. 5-year anniversaries in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's also, if I would do Grand Slam over the 5-year anniversary personally, if you have it announced, if you have it ready to go. Obviously, if you don't, you can't. But only because I think Grand Slam, I know 5-year anniversary is cool, but I think Grand Slam's a marquee event for them.
Yeah, I think they just, if they hope they can get everything lined up, they would send out the news release.
And you're in New York.
The day of Grand Slam.
Or the day, you might do the day before, and hear me out why, because you're in New York.
Yeah.
You could do some press. And I know press anymore, but like, in-person press, like bring your titles on TV, piping up like I'm the champion of a company that just, you know, that whole, I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll see. All right. So we're going to hit a quick break before we do Ryan Guesses Wrestling. We really need a better name, but I don't have one yet. In case you just joined, I did not get to see Dynamite. I had family obligations. But instead of having a sub or fill in, Joe is going to name a segment or match. I'm going to try to guess based on my knowledge of AEW and wrestling what I think happened. Sincerely, I'm probably make a joke, but I will also have a sincere guess in there. RGW. See, Jesse, my head, we're doing RGW. Ryan Guesses Wrestling.
RGW.
So, and then Joe will tell me what I was right on, wrong on. I tell you what I will personally do. We'll have to decide. I'll bring something up while we're on break. I will let you, Joe, be the decider if I got more than 50% of it right.
So we're not going to, I'm not going to tell you if it's right after the segment or after.
No, you are. You know, you are. So what I'm going to say is per segment. So we'll just, if it's a match and I'm like, you know, oh, they pinned him quickly. It was this or that. And I got 50% of it right. That's a win for me. If I get less than 50% of it right, it's a loss for me. And by and cost, no, nothing wagered, but just by PG with Ryan Gesslin, I like that. If it's a loss by, you know, just to see how well I do, or just, and 50% is the marker. Cause if I can get 50% of something right that I haven't seen, I think that's 50%. Do you think 50 is a fair percentage?
Yeah. I mean, most of the stuff I would think, since you watch it on a regular basis, should be relatively predictable.
And part of the reason I chose 50 is because it's either 50 or 75%, because I'm not trying to make you like, Ryan, did you get 62.3%
right? It's not a math show. This is the market.
Exactly. So 50-50. And I'll let you be the judge whether I did the 50 or not. Like, did I get the 50? So, but before we do that, we are going to be playing some commercials from the Shining Wizards Network, because that is who we are part of. And they're a bunch of awesome people doing awesome things. And you should listen to them when you're not listening to us. But if you want to support us because you like us and you're like, you guys are awesome. And Ryan, this guessing game is the coolest thing that's ever been invented. You could do that by going to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, prowrestlingtees.com/markorderpod, and buy one of these four or all four of our t-shirts. And if you're like, I'm listening, I'm not watching, Ryan, so I can't see it. There's one with our logo and name. There's our name just on the front. There's our name with our logo on the back. And then there's our one with our name and logo on the front right pocket with something on the back. So those are the four, and that's my beautiful description. That's for, listen, I wear plain tees for a reason. Clothes are not my thing. You can go buy one of them. But while you contemplate spending your hard-earned money on us, which, again, go do that, we want you to listen to these wonderful shows that are on the Shining Wizards Network. Wrong button.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events, brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones, too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal, here on the Shining Wizards Network. What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of down under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs. I'm talking Jacks. I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rogue.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke and Rogue. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We're currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about! Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster. I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast. They're funny guys. I like when they talk about the Narch plows. I like Narch plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. It's a podcast for two men. Two men, Duke Bags, Kevin Rogue. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport. All right. And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke? Oklahoma.
Once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Bro, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast in the back with the boys, you piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing!
You got a slight one in there?
If you're a man, you're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about a slight one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there! Alright, bro, you piece of shit! Slide one in there. A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
And we are back. Please listen to any of those Shining Wizards shows for great entertainment. I guess I didn't know where I was going with that when I started. All right. So now we turn over to our new game, Ryan Guesses Wrestling. RG Dub. Joe, you are very quick on the graphics.
There you go. RG Dub, Ryan Guesses Wrestling.
RG Dub.
All right. Let me pull up my...
I'm hardcore.
Okay, that last part got me.
There you go.
All right. Live from Dynamite from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. We open the show with Chris Jericho versus Orange Cassidy, a blood feud for the ages. Ryan, what do you think happens?
I know Jericho walked out saying, "Hi, guys."
And I should also mention that both sides are accompanied by members of their factions. So Brian Keith, Big Bill, and Mark Briscoe and Kyle O'Reilly.
Okay, so Jericho walks out, "Hi, guys." Cassidy walks out, does his spiel. The match starts. It's a lot of back and forth to start, as they typically are. Cassidy's kind of switching in a little bit between his sloth style with the more aggressive style, because he's kind of pissed off at Jericho. There's a lot of tomfoolery on the outside between the two factions. The Learning Tree is trying to cheat, and the conglomeration is trying to protect Orange Cassidy. It's a lot of tomfoolery. They both get kicked out. More back and forth, the typical Orange Cassidy match. And I love Orange Cassidy, but there are some typical things, you know, the Slumdog Millionaire, the Stun Dog, whatever, the his kicks, all that great stuff. Jericho wins via he kicks him in the nats, and then pins him.
Okay.
What do you say, Jim?
Well, if I'm doing the math in my head, I'm going to say you got 45% of that right.
God damn it. Okay. Tell me what happened.
So the match starts off with all six men, well, Orange Cassidy and Jericho are in the ring first, and then the other two guys from each respective corner get on the apron. They all stare down. They jump in the ring. Then we have a three-on-three, you know, fisticuffs. For some reason, Aubrey doesn't eject them right away, but they end up kind of taking care of themselves and brawling to the outside. So they're out of the picture for a while, right? So we get into the match. Like you said, there are the usual spots that you receive from both these guys. You know, Orange Cassidy hits the Orange Punch real early, and so he gets a near fall. Jericho bails to the outside of the ring for a break. There's a moment inside where Jericho is on top, just up to the top of the turnbuckle, and does a diving double ass handle. And then there's also a spot where Jericho blocks a drop kick and then hits the line salt for a near fall. See, he does his let's see, Jericho off the ropes. Let's see, oh, I think the spot of night is when they had him. Jericho and Orange Cassidy were on a rope case on the outside of the ring. They spent a lot of match on the outside of the ring, actually. Jericho back suplexes Orange Cassidy through the timekeeper's table. And then that was a good way to go to commercial on that one. Orange Cassidy comes back, hits him with a lariat, crossbody, does his little whirly-do DDT that he does, you know. And then all of a sudden you see a big boot, big Timberland boot come through the rope, and big, you know, big build, big boots, Orange Cassidy. But then here Kyle O'Reilly to come back and even up the odds. And Jericho tries to take advantage of everything. He hits a driver.
One of the drivers, that's fine.
Yeah. Not the attitude adjustment, but the actual driver.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jericho has him, toe breaks him, just near fall. Orange Cassidy hits a beach break. But then Jericho has a roll of quarters that he pulls out. And he's tried to take a wild swing at Orange Cassidy. Orange ducks, takes the quarters from him, loads up the orange punch, knocks the hell out of Chris Jericho with the roll, the quarters and the punch, without the referee seeing, and get the win.
I think you're being generous giving me 45%. My God, I missed most of that.
Yeah.
I knew they'd back and forth. I predicted the winner wrong. I predicted them not being ejected wrong. I knew Jericho would cheat. I knew I could have predicted most of the moves that happened in the match.
Right. Okay, fine. 40%. Okay, I feel like,
yeah,
I'll give 20% loss for not getting the winner right. 20% loss for not having about the guys being ejected.
And 20% not predicting that 90% of the match should be outside. Got it. Yeah. Also, Jesse Ozog is playing along. Jesse, you have to tell us whether you won or lost. The win is 50% or greater. I expect truthfulness from you. So I recorded my first loss of the night. Now, Joe, I have decided I'm adding a feature to this game. It's not a feature of the game. It's a feature of the night. I am going to ask you, after you've told me after you tell me the segment, how it actually happened, did you like it? Did you like the segment or match? So, Joe, did you like this match?
Yeah, overall, I liked it. I mean, it wasn't my favorite match between the two of them, but I'm glad that we didn't have too much tomfoolery with, you know, their stable mates. We got to see a new conglomeration t-shirt, so that's fun.
Well, they have a new t-shirt. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. But otherwise, it was what you expect. And I think doing a lot of the outside stuff, one, gave the match a different feel from some of the previous ones. And two, I think obviously kind of helps save Jericho in some spots.
Did Jericho do the camera thing?
He did. See, bonus point for you. I forgot to mention that. He grabbed the camera from the camera operator while he was on the outside of the ring. And then Orange Cassidy was laying down next to the barricade and he kicked him a few times. So he filmed himself kicking Orange Cassidy.
Okay.
And he ridiculed him for not having a good enough frame shot.
Well, as Taz should do. Taz hates Jericho.
Yes. So.
All right. So then we move on to our second whatever of the night, whatever you want to call it.
Sure. Well, next we have one. Yeah, we get a little video that was shot after Dynamite last week that features Pac and Claudio, and they're calling out Willer, pretty much telling him to come back to work next week because he has a responsibility to defend the trio championship with them. Claudio says he's not mad, he's just disappointed. And then Moxley comes in into the shot and, you know, tells Willer that, you know, he thinks he had the strength in him to do the right thing. No one's forcing him to stay with the BCC, but no, Willer had a choice to make, basically. So that is the video from that. I don't know. There's not a lot of guessing, obviously, from there.
No, I did find it funny that the BCC tried to add a British person. I just realized that. So that's the irony. Okay.
So after that video plays, Alex Marvez is in the back. He catches up with Willer. And Willer looks like he's leaving. I don't know why he's leaving already, but he's emo Yuta still. And he says he's worked his whole career to be a champion. And then he gets cut off by this guy coming from the back saying that Willer forgot a championship belt and gives it to him. So Willer is so disoriented that he left his trio belt in the locker room. And so Willer says he's just all over the place, scatterbrained and trying to just process a lot of things. But he's a fighting champion. And if those guys want one more favor next week, then he'll show up and kick who's ever asking you to. So he's going to try to be a professional. So we'll see how this works out.
It's not going to work out. So, okay.
All right. So from there, we get our next match, Ryan.
Okay.
And it is Hook versus JD Inc. With Roddy Strong and the Kingdom are at the commentary desk watching the match.
Okay. Hook wins in a squash. Because I have no idea who that other guy is. And I apologize if I should, and I just don't by name only. But Hook wins in a squash with the Tazmission. You would think the Undisputed Kingdom was going to charge the ring, but instead they just stand out and sarcastically applaud Yuta and then start talking shit. And it ends Hook, and it ends with Hook leaning over the ropes to the retreating Undisputed Kingdom up the aisle, talking shit to him. It's a quick match and a quick segment overall.
You did better on this one, obviously. I will say at least 50%. I think he messed up on some of the Undisputed Kingdom interaction.
Okay.
And to answer Jesse Ozar's question about the previous segment about did Wheeler do the thing where he looks like he forgot his line? Wheeler did misspeak, and he was so flustered that he said he'll show up next week at WrestleDream. And then Alex Marvez had to correct him and say, next week is Grand Slam, Yuta.
Okay, so that's on purpose. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so what did I mess up with the Undisputed Kingdom interactions?
Well, you had obviously a squash match, right? Like, it's going to be a squash. JD Inc., as one would think with that name, was covered from head to toe in tats. He was all...
It'd actually be funnier if he wasn't.
Right? I'm just trying to pull my notes up here, sorry. He basically hooked wins with the Red Rum. The Undisputed Kingdom don't get involved in the match. Hook leaves the ring, and he finally, walks up to the top of the stage. They exchange words, yelling across the stage to one another. But there's one or two security guards there to try to keep them apart. And that's it.
Did these security guards look like wrestlers?
It was just one. I think it was cheesecake.
Okay, that would make that. You mean cheeseburger?
No, the security guard. Cheesecake, the one that's friends with, Zay and all them.
Oh! I was thinking wrestler.
No, not wrestler.
Okay. People. Yeah, they're actual. Yeah, okay. No, that's fair. All right. So, I mean, they didn't... I'll take the 50 because I predicted the match and they didn't fight each other and they didn't interfere. So I'm close enough. I went a little more old school in my prediction of how they left because I would have predicted they walked down the ramp to sarcastically applaud Hook, and then that they then walked backwards up the ramp. But I'll take my 50. So I'm one for one. Joe, how was this as a segment, as a match?
It wasn't a match, though. No rating for me.
Okay, so no
rating. It was literally my notes were, I think, double underarm hook suplex, half and half suplex, half and half suplex, cross face forearm to the face. And then Red Rum.
Who does he think he is? Brock Lesnar?
He didn't bust up. Didn't bust him and open the hard way. So.
Okay.
That was pretty much the match. So it was quick.
It's a one for one. I don't. I get the point of that, but I don't get the point of that. I don't think Hook needs a squash match at the moment.
No.
And I don't. See how this really helps the feud. I'm excited for his feud with Roddy Strong, but I don't think Hook needs a squash match. I actually want Hook in more competitive matches. I think that does him a little bit more favors.
Yeah.
So this wouldn't really be for me.
No, the match between him and Roddy, I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of suplexes.
A lot of suplexes.
All right. We return, and Alex Marvez is earning that paycheck tonight, and he's backstage and talks about how there is an open challenge for the trios title at Grand Slam. So we hear, obviously the BCC is going to have an open challenge. And then enter Private Party. The Private Party comes in and then they say they're willing to accept the challenge and we'll find a partner. So
do we find the partner tonight?
I think so.
Okay, but not this segment.
Not this segment. No. And I'm trying to
keep Hold on. I'm going to try to guess.
Okay.
It's not Commander. I know. I would guess it's not Commander, even though that's who they've been teaming with. Darby Allin.
No. 0%.
Who was it? I'm going to take that as a loss. Who was it?
It was Commander.
I thought it was too obvious. Okay. They've been teaming with him, but he also doesn't kind of fit their vibe. So I was like,
am I really going to take Private Party and Commander seriously against the BCC?
That's why, I love Private Party. I'd rather them in the tag division at this point. I think they have a lot to offer. As a third commander, doesn't make sense.
You know what? I would love the private party in, I don't know, like, let's say the Hurt Syndicate came to AEW.
Yeah. Honest to God, you know who I would find a lot of fun with private party? Now, it can't happen. The story's too... Orange Cassidy.
That'd be interesting.
Think about how much they're oh, I forgot Big G pointed out they're wrestling at Grand Slam. I forgot that Darby is... Because private, just how he wouldn't react and they're doing their partying, I just think that'd be funny. But yeah, he's not, he just doesn't fit. Like,
no.
But they're really, I really like them. So I'm hoping they push into the tag division. But if they're, even though they're not, at least they're they have a story going.
Yep. Well, after that goose egg, Ryan, we will return back from commercial and. Another backstage segment. We have a lot of backstage segments in this show. Renee Paquette is in the back, and she has Christian Cage and the rest of the patriarchy. And Christian Cage wants to talk about his son, the prodigy Nick Wayne, who has a very big four-way match coming up on Rampage. And he decided that a father and son will each hold titles at the same time. And then he takes a shot at John Moxley because, you know, Mox is kind of gunning for a championship belt as well. And then he demands that Renee call him the reigning, defending, undisputed, next AEW world champion.
How can you be defending, Matt? That doesn't make sense.
I don't know. He's father, so he can do whatever he wants, I suppose.
Does Renee say it?
She begrudgingly does.
Okay.
And then as they're getting ready to end that portion, they notice someone off camera. And the camera swipes over and pans, and it's Kip Sabian who appears.
It better have been Kip Sabian. I would have been furious if it wasn't.
And then Christian berates him and says if he sees his face again, he's going to put him in the dirt next to his father. So
how did the crowd react to Kip Sabian?
There was a reaction, not like a giant reaction, but there was
it's fine, as long as there's a reaction, because he's kind of rebuilding himself in the wrestling. So okay.
He is a part of the four-way match with Nick Wayne on Rampage. Yeah. With Leo.
He also lives in
somewhere else.
He also lives in the Philly Cherry Hill area. I think. I don't know exact town. I don't know why I said Cherry Hill, because I know that's where his doctor was one time. I only know that because it was a doctor I used. I think he's in the Philly area because that's where Penelope's from. Right. They had the vlog out, and the vlog showed the building that I'm like, oh, I went there. So I happen to know where it is. But anyway, that was a random fact about me. Sorry, guys. It's not where I live, so don't worry about that.
All right.
I didn't just dox myself. Don't worry. I don't live there. I just had to drive. I had to drive to get there too.
Well, let's go to our women's tag match.
Okay.
With Mariah May and Serena Deeb versus Queen Aminata and Yuka Sakazaki.
Okay. This is a tough one. I'm going to say, see, this is the problem. I don't think Mariah should lose, but I have Yuka and Aminata winning because Yuka's getting that shot against Mariah that she won't win, but she'll have it. And Aminata needs to get one up on Deeb after just having been hurt by Deeb. So I'm going to say they win. Deeb takes the loss. Mariah is furious. I can't tell if Mariah abandons Deeb. And Deeb takes the loss. It is a less than 10 minute match. Yuka does a couple jumping things and Aminata is awesome. How did I do?
You know, I think I'll give you 59%.
Two and two, baby.
The outcome a little off.
Okay.
So, Yuka did do a lot of her jumping off of ropes and splashes. This match was heavily dominated by Yuka. I think it really highlighted her for her match.
She needed it on return. Yeah.
Aminata got her stuff in. She looks fine, but it really went to spotlight Yuka in her return. The ending segment really ended with Yuka with a diving splash. With the magic, I guess it's the magical girl splash is what they called it on TV.
That's what it's called.
And she looks like she's going to pin Serena Deeb after she hits it, and Mariah comes in and breaks it up by hanging her over the head with her belt.
Okay, so it's a DQ finish.
It's a DQ finish.
So DQ's going to take the loss. I couldn't figure out how, like, Mariah couldn't take a loss, like, take a clean loss. Okay, this makes sense. So I had Mariah abandoning it because that's how she would have protected herself. Mm-hmm. This is just, okay, I'll take, I think my percentage was fair because I got a lot of it.
Yeah, you did. You got a lot of it. And Deeb and Mariah initially didn't really gel at first. Mariah was kind of busy on the outside, kind of hanging on, sitting by the steps and posing with her belt, you know, things like that. But eventually they got on the same page for a little bit. After the match, after the DQ finish, she kept whipping Yuka with her belt and then finished her off by giving her, you know, her kiss goodbye.
It's like a kiss from a rose.
Yes. Or kiss of death. Whatever you mean, kiss from a rose. Okay, Steel.
Jesse, I got a point of Jesse saying 59% is still an F. This isn't grading on that scale. In this guessing game, 50% higher is a win. 49% lower is a loss. That's all this is. Because this is like hitting, like, you know how baseball, if you hit 3 out of 10, you're awesome? Yeah. That's kind of where we're at here. If I can get half of it right, I'm awesome at this.
You did better than Jesse, apparently.
Yeah. I knew how this would play out. Now, I didn't know how they would get to... The one thing I didn't know was how they would get to a non-clean finish. They don't usually do the DQ finish, so I wasn't... That just doesn't come to my brain.
Yeah. You kind of had to protect everyone except Serena.
Yeah. But Serena could take the loss because Serena got one up on Aminata after her. Like, there's a whole different thing going on with her. Jesse, these rules were set out at the beginning of the game. I set these rules out before we even went to break. So no. These rules were official. For anyone listening, being like, what is Ryan talking about? Jesse Ozog is trying to say I'm changing the rules in the middle of the game like his 5-year-old daughter. Or I said daughter. I don't know why daughter. Just his 5-year-old saying changing the middle of the rules in the middle of the game. These were set and established early. So, okay.
You good there, Ryan?
I'm good. I'm fired up, baby.
Let's stoke that fire some more. But next up, we get a Mina Shirakawa promo. I know how much you love yourself some Mina.
I love Mina. I mean, she's all, listen. My love for Mina, and I'm going to be officially, was based mostly on her RJ City thing. She was hilarious, and it made me laugh.
That's fair. Well, and this is a pre-recorded promo.
Okay.
So it's pretty much is her saying that, no, she's seen Mariah May change, and she doesn't know if she likes it, but she still misses her and thinks that they can have more good times. So in her heart, she wants Mariah. And if she wants to celebrate, and if AEW really wants her, then Mina is coming.
Everybody wants some.
Your hashtag
wants some too. Everybody wants some. Yep, I'm all for this. I think it's not just because I'm a Mina fan, though I am a Mina fan. I think it's important for Mariah's continued development. They had established the Mina to help with Mariah and Tony, so to just ignore that now would be stupid. So I'm glad they're continuing with it, and it helps further the New Japan AEW relationship. So I'm good with this.
All right. Well, after that, we get a video package highlighting the history between Nigel and Bryan Danielson.
Okay.
So nothing.
Lots of clam digging.
Nothing too crazy. It's pretty much Nigel narrating it, and then the highlights of their time in ROH, and then periodically they have little sound bites or interviews with Roddy Strong and Mark Briscoe talking about about the two wrestlers and their feuds and what they meant to each other and all that stuff. So we'll move on to the next segment. And we see John Moxley, Marina Shafir, and Claudio Castagnoli make their entrance. So they had advertised Moxley going to speak tonight. But before they can make their way into the ring, Private Party tried to jump them in the crowd. But, you know, the numbers game, right? So Mox and the BCC take control of them and just, you know, whoop that ass at Mark Quinn and Brother Zay. And the commander appears in the ring and he tries to take him out. He had no luck. Marina Shafir even hip tosses Alex Abrahantes down.
Oh no.
It was good, like a judo toss. She grabs a microphone from Mox. Mox has a microphone in his hand. He dumps out a toolbox he found underneath the ring and grabs a hammer. And he talks about how he could end Private Party's career right there, right now, but he's not going to do it.
Right here, right now.
He says that they've been here since the beginning, 5 years ago, and yet they're still in the same spot they were in. And why? And he says, because, and he says he's going to give them some friction, some resistance, an obstacle to overcome. So he tells them to consider this a gift. And he takes the hammer and he breaks Isaiah's hand with it.
Oh, no.
So after that, Isaiah. After that, Darby's music hits. Darby runs to the ring. He hits Claudio in the back with the skateboard and then faces off with Moxley in the center of the ring. They circle around, look at each other, and Darby tries to take a swing at Moxley with the skateboard, and Moxley ducks and he gets out of there. Darby has a promo, talks about how he's the same guy. He's not the same guy Moxley used to know, how he's going to win next week and become world champion at WrestleDream. Darby really needs to improve on his promos. I feel like Darby's promos are all kind of the same after a while.
Yeah, Darby needs to change things up. I like Darby, but his promos were never his strong suit.
All right.
So well, maybe Darby, see, Darby is helping Private Party. See?
Well, maybe. And maybe because, you know, if Isaiah is incapacitated with a broken hand. Well, then we get a video package for the scapegoat, Jack Perry. I guess just to remind us who he is. It's pretty much a package of him driving around in his little shovel. And they overlay it with some backstage quotes he had in previous interviews. Like how he's talking about being crucified in this life to be worshipped in the next. Things like that.
Okay.
Otherwise, didn't do much else other than, you know, the future. The last line of that was the future is mine. So she's talking about how it's his time. Blah blah blah. We finally get back to the ring for some action, where we have a very good match with Ricochet versus the Beast Mortis.
Okay. Wait. What do we have in the back? Say that again.
No, we have a very good match back in the ring.
Oh, I think so. We had something. All right. So you did take part of it. So I think there's a lot of high flying flippity flops, the flip and the flop and the flip flop, and you don't stop a rocking. I think Mortis is more athletic than people think, but you would think with a guy who wears a bull's head. So he does some really cool moves, but he also powerhouses Ricochet a few times, catches him when he does something, slams him hard, throws him around. There's definitely a tope suicida, lots of off the top rope stuff, some dives, some interesting hurricanranas, some other twisty things where that move where the guy puts the scissors on the neck and he twists him around. Ricochet wins with his whatever his finisher is, which I'm blanking on right now. It is a really good match, one that I should go and watch, is my prediction. And then after the match, Pac's music hits. And then he walks out and stares down Ricky O'Shea. And I'm doing, I really don't know if I should have went that far, but I felt like I had to throw something out there.
All right. Well, your instincts were correct. You should have stopped when you were ahead.
Whatever. I'll live with it.
So I will deduct 5% from that.
All right. So what's my overall score?
I will give you 95% on that one. That would be an A. Even to Jesse.
Bang, bang, bang. Set up. Yes. No. So I got 3 wins, baby. The 2 losses.
Because you're pretty spot on. Because initially, Ricochet tried to jump Mortis quickly with some quick strikes. Mortos, you know, uses his power and throws Ricochet in the corner with some charging uppercuts and a forearm and a kick. Mortis does get to show off his agility, and he jumps over a sweep attempt by Ricochet. They do that whole thing where they kind of like do counters to see how fast each other are.
Yeah.
Ricochet does try to do a tope kanjiro, and Mortos does catch him. And then he power bombs him, does a release power bomb onto the hardest part of the ring.
The apron?
What's that?
The apron?
That would be it. And then toward the end, Ricochet counters a move with a crucifix driver. He does his ass kick to the hand, and then he gets him set up for his vertigo for the pinfall. But yes, it's a very good match. They had a decent amount of time, so Mortis looks like a guy that can really keep pushing. Yeah,
Mortis is a lot of fun. So Ricochet's finisher is called the vertigo, I think is what Big G's saying?
Yep, the vertigo, yep.
Okay, I wonder.
It's like a dragon sleeper DDT looking thing.
Does it spin?
I don't think so. I'm not like.
Okay, what the fuck is it called the vertigo for?
It's just like he like has him like upside down, like facing up, and he like picks him up and then drops him back.
If you're doing a move called vertigo, there needs to be a spin involved.
I don't know. I don't know why Ricochet's finishing move is something like that and not something off like the rope.
I'm just saying, vertigo is a spinning thing. It should be a spinning thing. Ryan's hard wrestling takes. All
right. And Jesse is right. Mortis did do a backhand spring.
For fuck's sake. So this was a good match. This is one worth watching.
Yes. Definitely go back and watch this one. It's a fun one.
Okay. All right. Good.
It should have been a solid. It would have been a solid, like, even a 0 hour type of match for a pay-per-view.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
I think it was on that.
Mortos is awesome, and Ricochet is Ricochet. So
I want to say 0 hour because they don't ever put a story with Mortos. It's just, here's an awesome
match. Not yet. I think he will get a story eventually.
He is advertised for a 10-man tag match on Collision.
Maybe there's a story where someone gets lost in a maze and Mortos is there hunting them.
That sounds horrific. It's my nightmare.
I just think it's what it is. So you have to have a magical string that helps lead you out.
Well, we get another video package, because that's what we do tonight. It's of Heyman, and it kind of recaps the following weeks he's had to get to where we are today, and it kind of highlights everything he did with Swerve as far as burning the house and what Swerve did to him to create a monster in him. And that sets up a in-ring interview with Tony Schiavone. So after commercial break, Tony's in the ring. He introduces Heyman. Heyman comes to the ring, and he pretty much says he's watched, he's listened for a long while, because he knew a day like this would come when Swerve Strickland was dealt with and would be gone. And he talks about how it wasn't just Swerve who needed to pay, it was everyone else who stood by him, who protected him, supported him, stood in Heyman's way, and pretty much, everyone who surrounded Swerve. And when he hears those voices, He thinks of being home and being suspended. And he also thinks about the other voice he heard who supported Swerve through all this. And that is the voice on commentary. And as he turns to Tony Schiavone. And he corners him. And then someone comes out before Tony gets dealt with. Ryan, who comes out to say?
I knew this was going to be a guessing. Don't anyone put, I'm going to keep my eyes closed in case someone accidentally puts in chat. Who the hell would come out? Don't think it's Osprey, not yet. Well, what's going on with him? Fucking Osprey. I'm gonna say Osprey.
That is wildly off the mark.
I figured. Who was it?
The Last Outlaw himself.
Okay, so it crossed my mind, and I legitimately thought there's no way they make it Jeff Jarrett.
They do. So
that's a loss.
Hey man, Jarrett match here pretty soon. So Jarrett comes out. Helps, slides, interrupts him and Heyman brawl. Security referees come out of the back to help pull him apart. Jarrett just on the mic and says, he'll be damned if you let Heyman lay a single hand on Tony. And there's a lot of guys in the back who want a piece of Heyman, and he's at the front of the line. So he adds, if it's his last thing he does in his career, the Last Outlaw is going to kick his ass. Which makes me wonder, will he have a retirement match?
I mean, that could be a fun way to go out.
I mean, that'd be a lot of heat on more heat on Heyman.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be okay with it. If that's where they go with this, if it isn't a serious feud for Hangman, if it's a step, like, listen, if it's a retirement match, that's a whole different level that would get heat. But even if it's not a retirement match, if it's just some way to, Jeff Jarrett's just like a way to for Hangman to get more heat, but it's quick, I can live with that.
Yeah. Once he said, no, if it's the last thing he does in his career, I'm like, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and they turn his face through all this now, so. But, so after that segment, we go backstage, and Renee is with Ricochet. And then before they get into that talk, Will Ospreay comes in. And so they catch up. And pretty much Ricochet tells him about how he was thinking about what Will told him to get his wins up. And then he thought, well, maybe it's not him who needs to be doing all the work, because it seems like everyone's gunning for Ricochet lately. But no one's been going after Ospreay and his title. So instead, Ricochet says that in 2 weeks at the 5-year anniversary show of Dynamite, he's challenging Ospreay for the international title.
Okay.
So I'm surprised we're going to do it there, but, you know.
5-year show, I can see that.
It should be the main event, so.
I mean, they loaded Grand Slam, so I guess they're just trying to follow it up with another great thing. Yeah.
So that will that should be good. Going back to a commercial break. All right. I think we're to our main event.
It's time. Okay.
So our main event is the Don Callis family of Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher partnering with Will Ospreay as they take on the Elite.
All right. Hold on. I think that's through, because obviously the Elite win. That much I know from the start. What I don't know is, all right, so the Elite win, but how do they lose? Not they.
Yeah.
How do
You have the finish. You just don't know how they got to the finish.
Yeah. So, first of all, it's an excellent match. I'm going to go that far. That is, it's a banger. You have six just awesome wrestlers. I think there's a fun exchange between Okada and Takeshita somewhere in the middle of the match where you're just like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. I think the match loses with Takeshita turning on Ospreay. Not joining the Elite, just turning on Ospreay and putting him down, and then pins him. And then not pins him. He walks away. I'm going back with my own walkaway spot again because it's all I got tonight. And then one of the Elite pins him. But you have a fun match. You have he turns on him, which then leads Ospreay to being BTE triggered or whatever they call it now, EVP triggered now. That's how that happens. I'm trying to think what else? Who gets the Rainmaker? Does anyone get the Rainmaker? No one gets the Rainmaker. There's not a Rainmaker. There are super kicks, of course. I think it's an awesome match. I can't think of any other spots, but that's my thing. Ospreay takes a pin because Takeshita hit him, which led him to taking the EVP trigger.
All right. Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
You failed hard on this one.
Damn it. What did I? All right. Well, it's a loss. So I've lost for the night. Okay.
Yeah. So the Elite took the loss.
Holy shit.
I also was surprised. I thought, the mixed match team of Ospreay and Fletcher and Takeshita would lose because I also thought Takeshita and Ospreay would have issues and that would cause them to lose.
Yes.
And that was kind of played up at the beginning of the match. Ospreay, at a point where Ospreay could have tagged in Takeshita to come and face Okada, but he gives him the hand of, not yet, to hold off. And so he does. And then he takes on Okada for a while. When Takeshita does tag in, he gives Ospreay a very hearty, hearty back slap of a tag. But I don't want to go through all the spots because, as you respect, there are tons of spots in this match. I will go to the end here of kind of how the finish got there. And it was some reversals from the out of the Bucks tag team moves. They were going to go for a TK driver, but Fletcher slipped out of the hold. He delivers a Revolution Tombstone pile driver on Matthew, but Nicholas breaks it up. Ospreay comes out of nowhere and hits a vicious hidden blade on Nicholas. And then they pick Matthew up, and they win by pinfall after Ospreay and Fletcher do their whatever their finisher is with the I think it's the Coriolis. I don't know.
Coriolis effect. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The thing that happens with the bullet going down.
Yeah, their finisher.
Cover the earth. Yeah.
And then Fletcher pins Matt Jackson, and they win. And then as they win, The music that plays is the United Empire's music, and they have the graphic on the screen and everything. And Fletcher and Ospreay stay in the ring together for a moment, and they throw up the United Empire sign that Ryan clearly has mastered by now. As you can see, or if you're listening on podcast, you can imagine what he's doing with his fingers. And then as they're shaking hands, Ospreay goes to try to shake Takeshita's hand. Takeshita's not having it. They kind of mean mug each other. Meanwhile, the Bucks go up the ramp and are licking their wounds. And that's how we end Dynamite.
Okay. Interesting. But was it a good match?
It was. It was a really fun match, considering, it'd be hard not to be with people who were involved. And I think, we talked about how the Bucks aren't on TV a lot. They're not wrestling as much right now. So I think when they do show up, and wrestle like this, you know, it kind of makes you miss them, I guess, you know, kind of the absence of the heart. And so with them, and Okada is always fun to watch. They did a three-person flip-off spot, so that was fun. But I would go back and watch this match as well, in addition to your Ricochet and Mortos.
Okay. I'm shocked the Elite lost. Just shocked. But the United Empire thing going up, that's interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting choice. Like, you don't do that by accident of like you put the whole graphics and the music. When it's very interesting.
Yeah, agreed. All right. Interesting. So how would you rate Dynamite overall?
You know, I thought it was solid. I mean, you know, probably if you're using the Ryan level of fun, I'd probably at least do a level 3.
Okay. Fair enough.
There were a lot of talky segments, you know, backstage in the ring, but all the in-ring action was really solid. Aside from the hook squash match.
Okay. I'll take it.
I think one LT photo, even talking about the Jericho thing, even the Jericho and Orange's match was solid. It wasn't the best thing on this card. It wasn't the worst thing.
Okay. Well, I mean, I apparently can't guess. I'm taking a loss for the night. I have 4 losses to 3 wins. Not good for me. Not good for me at all.
Yes, Jesse Ozark. I think those are the 2 matches you should probably go back and watch the rest of it. No, take it or leave it if you really want to catch up on it. But
all right. What was 19 minutes? Jericho and Orange Cassidy?
I felt like they had a lot of commercial breaks in that. Yeah.
That is too long if that's how long their match was.
Yeah,
it's too long for an Orange Cassidy match, but it's too long for a Jericho match.
It probably should have been like 11 minutes.
Under 10. Listen, I'm a Jericho fan. He just can't. He doesn't go at that level anymore.
Right, and that's why I think they spent half the match on the, at least half the match outside. Doing all their stuff on the outside of the ring. But
that was he has to hide his stuff anymore. Yeah.
Right. So I just don't know where to go with this. I feel like the learning tree has officially ran out of steam.
Yeah. I Big Bill's clearly very over. Brian Keith has got. I find the high guys and stuff a lot of fun, but it kind of has left it. It's where it is. Big Bill is like I said, he's very over. Brian Keith is getting more and more over. They should just go on their own. Not together. I mean, not even as a tag, just go on their own.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
They just jump Chris Jericho and dump him, and Jericho leaves TV for a while.
Dude, you know, for someone who likes his breaks, he sure is not taking one.
No, he did not. Well, Ryan, that was our Ryan Guesses Wrestling, and we now have a baseline for how well Ryan does at this game.
Not well, he lost. But it was fun. I don't necessarily want to do it again because it means I have missed Dynamite, but I think it's a fun game to play if I miss Dynamite. And if I don't, if someone else misses Dynamite, it's RGW presents whoever Joe Guesses Wrestling.
Okay. So that's the rebranded it. Huh?
We're keeping it branded as RGW. Sure. And then Joe Guesses Wrestling is like a pay-per-view.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, everyone, I want to thank you guys for hanging out with us. Am I good to wrap us up? I didn't want to.
Yeah, I think we're good. We covered the main news events of talking TV talks. I don't think there's anything else wrestling-wise AEW adjacent.
Perfect. All right, so thank you all for hanging out in the chat. 1LT, Jesse Ozark, Scott George, Big G, Kylie. Apologize if I missed anyone. You guys are awesome. And we will be back next week. Kateless again because she is going to Grand Slam. But hopefully I will have been able to watch it. But if not, we'll just guess and see what happens. But until then, we will see.
The Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join us.